phone call to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Secretary of State John Kerry told him the US believes Russia is complicit in the deaths of civilians in Aleppo and wants to see Moscow taking immediate steps to end the Syrian government's assault on the city. But some of Mr. Kerry's colleagues in President Obama's cabinet believe he was naive ever to think he could work with the Russians on Syria and secure a ceasefire.
A joint investigative team says the missile that brought down Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was carried into Ukraine from Russia. The Rotterdam-based investigators also say the missile was launched from Ukrainian territory that was controlled by pro-Russian separatists. The plane was shot down on July 17, 2014, killing all 298 people on board. The U.S. Senate has voted overwhelmingly to overrule a veto by President Obama. Lawmakers were 97-1 in favor of a bill that will allow the families of the victims of the 9/11 terror attacks to sue Saudi Arabia. Kevin McAleese reports from Washington.
It's the first time in his 8 years in office that Barack Obama has had a veto overturned by the Senate. The bill will pave the way for the victims of 9/11 to sue the Saudi government in U.S. courts over its alleged ties to the terror attacks 15 years ago. Five of the 19 hijackers were Saudi nationals, although the 9/11 Commission found no evidence they were supported by Saudi officials. President Obama vetoed the bill over concerns it could spark retaliation against US nationals and American interests overseas. But the concerns have not been strong enough to persuade the majority in the US Congress. The vote will now be taken up by the House before it can pass into law. Kevin McAleese, Washington.
Afghan officials say three civilians have been killed in a U.S. drone strike that was targeting militant fighters. The Pentagon is investigating. Nick Harper has this report.
The strike's intended target was ISIS militants. Indeed, 15 of them were killed in the attack. However, three civilians also died in Nangarh province near the border with Pakistan. The drone struck a house where the fighters were meeting. A provincial police official said that several leaders had been killed. However, civilian casualties have caused tensions between the US and Afghanistan since the US-led invasion to combat the Taliban back in 2001. Nick Harper, New York.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Ah, thanks, Rebecca Foster. Good to chat with you. How you doing, by the way? It's Wednesday, September 28th, 2016. My name is Richie Allen. Hope you're well. Welcome back to the programme. Lots to get through this particular programme. I think you're going to like it. So in the meantime, let's just crack on with it then.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on DavidIke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with DavidIke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
It's always good to be with you. Welcome, as I said already. Can't wait to finally catch up with Tina Rothery. Poor old Tina was due to be with us Monday and Tuesday. It's Wednesday now. I think she's standing by. What a wonderful woman Tina is, by the way. She's synonymous with the anti-fracking campaign here in the United Kingdom. She'll be talking about, among other things, the Labour Party's pledge to ban fracking if they win the election. There was also an overnight vigil in London this week. And I'll tell you something else you might not know about Tina. There's been a personal cost to her for all of the campaigning against fracking. She was fined for trespassing at a fracking site some months ago. And I understand that bailiffs have been harassing her. That's not good enough, that. We'll talk to Tina shortly. And coming up in the second hour, Susan Lindauer returns to the programme. Now, Susan is a former CIA asset. And you will know by now, she is the author of the best-selling book Extreme Prejudice, the terrifying story of the Patriot Act and the cover-ups of 9/11 and Iraq. Now, she'll be talking about, among other things, the joint investigation report into the downing of Malaysian flight MH17. Yes, it's all over the news. Talk about it more in a second. The report unsurprisingly says, unsurprisingly, that the missile which struck the plane was brought into Ukraine from Russia. those damn Russians. We'll talk about that with Susan in the second hour. As always, the programme is broadcasting live on Fab Radio here in Manchester, alternatecurrentradio.com. Wonderful platforms, check them out. And of course, davidicke.com. Had a lovely chat with David today, just back from San Francisco. He's had three terrific events in the United States over the last few weeks. He's off to Prague next. That's a week on Saturday, isn't it? It is indeed a week on Saturday. To find out more about David's visit to Europe, where he's going to be everywhere, go to theworldwidewakeup.com. What do I need to say more about seeing David Icke for 10, 11 hours? Just go to theworldwidewakeup.com even and book your ticket to see David in Europe. Hello, Caroline.
Well, hello there, Richie. How are you?
Very good. Welcome back. What sort of a day have you had?
I'm glad to be back. A fantastic day as usual.
And it's very good of you. It's very good of you to do this after 9 to 5.
I've been forced. I've been dragged into the studio against
strong-armed.
My will. Yeah, no, it's great fun. I'm loving it.
So. Well, thanks very much. Well, what's happening then?
Well, if you want to comment on what's being discussed tonight, tweet at Richie Allen Show or email Richie@richieallen.co.uk. So I'll be reading your comments out a bit later. There's some love in the air tonight.
Bit of love in the air, isn't there?
There's a bit of love. There's Gary here who addressed Joanne at JoeBot. Joanne, if you're part of the Boddington's Bayer family, will you marry me?
Yeah, Joanne Boddington. Yeah, she's a listener to the programme. She's in Manchester. And for our overseas listener, Boddington's is a big Manchester brew. We remember you and I, actually, when we first moved to the city. The brewery on Princess Road used to brew Boddington's. It doesn't anymore. How interesting.
Yep.
You're stunned. Right, so people need to tweet you what they're thinking, and you're going to read out the tweets during the programme.
That's the plan.
Fantastic. Cheers, Caroline. Now, Malaysia Airlines flight MH17, as you probably know now, was shot down over Ukraine on the 17th of July 2014. It was a Boeing 777. It was going to Kuala Lumpur from Amsterdam when it came down, all 298 people on board, including 80 children and 15 crew, were killed. Now, unless you were living under, or unless you had your head buried in the sand today, you won't know, but if you were paying attention today, you will know that the international prosecutors, given the job of investigating the shooting down of flight MH17, they have said that the BUK missile that hit the plane was from Russia. The Buk missile, or the BUK missile, was in fact from Russia. They also narrowed down the area it was fired from to a field in territory controlled by Russian-backed rebels. You know that everybody on board died. Russia says it cannot accept these findings as the final truth, saying that no Russian weapons were in fact taken to Ukraine. So that's the story so far. The investigators say they are certain it came from Russia. The Russians are saying, well, no such missile or weapons were taken into Ukraine. The prosecutors, as I said, have narrowed down the missile launch site to a specific field near the village of, I think it's pronounced Pervomyskil, which was then in rebel hands. Now, they call them rebels, but of course they are pro-Russian, you wouldn't say separatists, just people living in eastern Ukraine who would be loyal to Russia. Now, the prosecutors identified around 100 people linked to the crash or the transport of the missile, but they are yet to determine who could be held criminally responsible. There is a need to establish who gave the order to move the missile launcher into eastern Ukraine and where that order for it to be fired came from, said those investigators today. Now, it was led by the Dutch. The Dutch-led joint investigation team consisted of prosecutors from the Netherlands, Australia, Belgium, Malaysia and Ukraine. What's interesting about this is they said, did the prosecutors, witnesses reported seeing the missile launcher move from Russia into Ukraine and presented pictures and video. Who are the witnesses? They went on to say the launch site was pinpointed by many witnesses. Again, nobody in mainstream media today is asking the question, who are the witnesses? Now, it's a two-pronged assault on Russia today, because you might or might not know. The United States has also accused Russia or Syria of using their air force, their planes, to blow up two hospitals in Aleppo. Again, no evidence has been brought forward to prove that. The narrative is, of course, the West is good and Russia is bad. Now, it's long been the editorial contention of this programme that the intelligence agencies of the NATO countries routed that plane, MH17, over eastern Ukraine and then blew it out of the sky to blame it on Russia. This wasn't long after, of course, Victoria Nuland, wife of neocon Bob Kagan, oversaw a coup in Ukraine orchestrating the overthrow of the democratically elected President Viktor Yanukovych. Now, I spoke to the legendary analyst Ray McGovern last year. When I spoke to him last year, it was almost a year after the disaster. Now, Ray was very interested in who was conducting the investigation into the downing of Flight MH17. This was last year, remember. Who was conducting the investigation into Flight MH17? Have a listen to this.
Now, who's been doing the investigation? Well, it's the Dutch, it's the British, it's the Australians, and actually, it's one of the suspects, Ukraine. Hello?
One of the chief suspects, yeah.
And four of these, of course, are all subservient to the United States. And so, you know, it doesn't require a crackerjack analyst to figure out what's going on. They laid the charges against pro-Russian separatists. And, you know, people should know that that's a misnomer. They're not, yeah, well, they're Russian, ethnic Russians, a lot of them out there in the eastern Ukraine. But it's not the pro-Russian that is operative here. It's the anti-coup, okay? There was a coup arranged by the United States and the European Union on the 22nd of February. That's where it starts, at least this latest round of hostilities in that part of the world.
That was Ray McGovern talking to me about a year ago, or yes, it was a year ago, and that was a year after the crash. Now, a couple of weeks after the crash itself, former US Senator Ron Paul had this to say.
Well, it's a political football is what it is. I personally don't know who shot down a plane. I don't know the motivations, but I've thought a lot about it. I've thought about who would benefit from shooting down the airplane. One thing is Russia wouldn't benefit by it. I mean, it would be foolish for them to participate in something like that. The rebels, possibly, if they made a mistake, thinking they were shooting something else down, I guess that's conceivable. But if you're looking for a false flag, the false flag would have to come from Western Ukraine and then blame somebody else in order to stir up what is happening. But the one point that I try to make, and I think it's a legitimate point, is we do have a lot of technology. Sometimes we have a lot of information when we don't use it well, and as a matter of fact, we get too much and it becomes bureaucratic. But I am convinced that the United States had a lot of information about everything going on in the skies over Ukraine during this period of time. I mean, they know what was going on. I mean, we participated in a coup, and it was very, very important. So I think our government has been talking a lot less about it. At the beginning, it was immediate. Oh, Russia did it, and then they wanted to drop it. And then when our intelligence group came out and says, no, there's no evidence that Russia was a participant in it, then the propaganda continued, but they allowed it to stand. I think most Americans right now believe that Russia was responsible for all this.
Massively important that the NSA and the CIA said there was no evidence that Russia had anything to do with it. Now, they said that only a few weeks after the shooting down of the plane. But as you heard there earlier, a year after the crash, Ray McGovern said the Dutch, UK, Australian and Ukrainians, all subservient to the US, as Ray pointed out, led the investigation that was published today, led the report that was published today. And Ukraine was ultimately party to an investigation of a crime of which it was a legitimate suspect. It's coming up for 15 minutes past the hour. Keep those tweets and emails coming in. Now, in other news, briefly, the Labour Party conference wound up today with a speech by Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn, who said that Labour can indeed climb the electoral mountain to general election success. Labour should be ready for Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, to call an early election maybe sometime next year. Whenever that election is called, Corbyn said we should be ready. Let's do it and be ready for the challenge whenever it comes, he said. He did say in his speech it had been a testing time for the party. He made reference to the death of Joe Cox, of course, who died on the eve, not literally on the eve, but several days before the EU referendum. We spoke a lot about that at the time. He talked about divisions over the leadership contest and more besides. He finished up, did Corbyn, by saying he would build a fairer Britain in a peaceful world. They're not going to get too deeper into that. So we're going to take some music now. Coming up in the second hour of this programme, don't forget Susan Linder, former CIA asset, she joins us. And of course, we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Tina Louise Rothery. You are with the Wednesday edition of the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. It's always great to be with you. It's always good to have your company. This is Gareth Ike. This is called Jura. Love this song. Can't say that enough times. Welcome to the show. Back with Tina Louise Rothery shortly. It is available to buy on iTunes. Gareth Ike, Jura, from the latest album, three stars on the cover. So we're calling it three. It's an amazing album. Can't recommend it highly enough. It's coming up for 19 minutes past the hour. Just before we get Tina on the show, Caroline's got some tweets. Caroline.
Yeah, we've got Mark here who seems to think that the timing of blaming Russia is no doubt to catalyze public view on Syria. And look at the Russian in such a bad way. Hubertes, I don't know if I can read the first bit there. He's using bad word, but he can't believe what he's listening, basically, about those secret witnesses. No data evidence, doctor photos for safety. We've got Devlin. Devlin's got a good sense of humor. Today I have stubbed my toe, misplaced my house key, and not won the lottery. I suspect Russia is on all cons.
It's got to be those damn Russians.
Yeah, definitely. Wayne, hello there, Wayne. At the end of the day, this is a game of power. It has nothing to do with the people directly. Only the fact innocents died.
One from Karen?
Karen. Hi, Karen. The witness is conjured up out of thin air, she seems to think. Easy to say, and there will be those who believe every single word.
Brilliant, Caroline. How can people get in touch again?
Well, everybody can either tweet me at Richie Allen Show or email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Bring it on.
Brilliant.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Welcome back to the programme. It's Wednesday's Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. I think it's 22 minutes past the hour. It's past the hour, wherever you happen to be in the world. Thanks for choosing the programme. We're really excited about broadcasting from a purpose-built, self-contained, fully professional studio that is attached to the old homestead. And we're loving it. A couple of teething problems yesterday, but you know what? That's the way it goes. Let's introduce our first guest. Should have been on the programme yesterday. Here she is. She's synonymous, I believe, with the anti-fracking movement here in the UK. Or to be fair to her, more the campaign to raise awareness about fracking. Interesting times. The Labour Party said that if they win the next general election, God help them, they will ban fracking. There was also a very interesting overnight vigil in London this week to raise public awareness of the dangers of fracking. And last time our first guest was on the programme, she was telling us that she was fined by a court for trespassing, basically, at a fracking site that she was demonstrating at last year. Delighted to welcome back to the programme our friend Tina Louise Rothery. Hello, Tina.
Hi, Richie. Bear with me, I'm a bit groggy. We didn't really get any sleep last night, and we've only just got home from the vigil. So, yes, a little bit on the sleepy side. But, you know, raring to go and always look forward to coming on the show. Thanks so much for having me.
No, it's an honour to have you, Tina. It generally is. Thrilled that you're on. Tell us about the vigil.
Well, it's been a kind of a crazy, like, sort of 30-plus hours. We went, we wrote last week to the Queen, and there were several reasons we did this. We wrote a checklist of all the things we've done over the last 5 years to stop fracking and to use the democratic process. Now, a lot of people said, there's no point, it won't work. But the point was to prove whether or not the system works for the people of this country or whether it fails us. So through the democratic process, we did everything. You know, we informed our councillors, lobbied our MPs, opposed fracking applications, did everything we humanly could, you know. Made it clear with public meetings, went from 300 to 500 groups across the country standing against fracking in our communities. You know, we couldn't have done a better job. We hired professional scientists and lawyers, and we looked into the figures, and we did town-by-town surveys. And we wanted to be sure that we did this the right way. So we made a checklist, and we decided that, you know, the decision on whether they're going to frack in Lancashire is due literally any day. And if you remember, in 2015, they said no to fracking because our county said no and our councillors said no. And then the government said, no, this decision is too big for Lancashire. We will take that decision off you. And then the Quadrilla, the fracking company, went to appeal. We went through 6 weeks of hell with that, but clearly won every step of the way. It was very obvious our side had all the information, as well as 888 peer-reviewed studies that say we're right. So now Westminster has to make that decision. So we did our checklist in order to make it clear that when that decision comes, we have done everything lawfully and legally and within our democratic rights up to that point, And if they overturn us, what does that say about our so-called democracy? So the last item on our list, particularly as our group is called the Nanas, was to appeal to the greatest grandmother, the one with the greatest power, and to appeal to her not as Her Majesty or Your Highness, but to the grandmother Elizabeth, and to ask her to abide by her greatest obligation and her noblest obligation, we believe, which is to protect her young as we do. And this is the title grandmother, and we wanted her to honour that and respect us and respect our position of standing between this industry and the safety and welfare of our children. And we want her to understand that. So we went yesterday. We knew she hadn't replied, obviously, in the week to the first press release and letter. So we then wrote another one and said, we will be outside on the 27th for a tea party at 2 if you're about. Perhaps you'll accept a report from us. So we attempted to hand in a report, but unfortunately they were unable to receive it. So now we have to post it, but it will be too late. We did explain this was an emergency. And of course she didn't come out. Yes, we know that. But then we also wanted to make sure it was clear this was not Nana's on a jolly to London. You know, we had some very beautiful cakes and we had a very lovely time and some lovely people came to see us. But we then stayed for the all-night vigil, which was very hard. You know, we have some disabilities amongst our Nanas and some of them are not as young as they once were. And yet we stayed outside all night with virtually no sleep and no comfort because you're not allowed sleeping bags or things in London in the Royal Parks areas. And we just sat all night in vigil so that she would understand just how important this is. Because much like when you're a child and your nan finally gets involved, that's when it's serious, you know? And it is that serious. We are here to defend our young and we will not be stopped from this. So that was what yesterday was all about.
Brilliant, Tina.
Yeah, so it was a heck of a day.
I'd imagine you must have attracted a bit of attention, did you?
Oh, yeah, it was fabulous. It really was. You know, you have to find the joy when you're doing something as hard as this for as long as this. You have to find the joy in every opportunity presented to you. And it's the warmth of the faces. You know, it's the young greens and the young friends of the earth who all came to keep us company. It's the Lush, the you know, the charity, they raise money for the anti-fracking movement. They help us, Lush Cosmetics. And so you know, he's a lovely activist. And he, their film crew came down to film us. RT came and filmed us. And then the new head of the Green Party, Jonathan Bartley, came down. And we had such a good laugh with him and also managed to really bring him up to speed on where we're at and what we're doing. See, the Green Party has been with us pretty much since the beginning. You know, they were always obviously against fracking. And then last week, the Liberal Democrats came on board. And then this week, of course, Jeremy Corbyn, his environment secretary, came out and said that they will ban fracking if they're in power. And what we'd also like to see is actually for them to seriously oppose it whilst they're not in power as well. And it's very good that these you know, see, we had a hard time with Labour because back in 2014, when the infrastructure bill went through, Labour had the one opportunity in this country to ban fracking, to stop it. And unfortunately, at the time, it was still under you know, Blairite Labour. And they didn't seize that opportunity. Instead, they introduced 12 regulations or 12 suggestions, of which only one has been taken up anyway.
Yeah, Ed Miliband was never going to come out and oppose that, so he wasn't.
It was a weak party then. You know, we think that we went the other day, Momentum invited us to come and speak at the World Transform, so the Nanas went there and spoke. And then afterwards there was a surprise visit and then it was Jeremy Corbyn came and I watched him for the full 20 minutes. And, you know, I'm not easily enamored with people. You know, I can usually spot lies and the man spoke off the cuff and all credit to him. It was a very warming thing to hear from a politician. And you know what? Even if it was just that him and another guy said, we don't want fracking, that's what we get joy from anyway. You know, whether you can turn the whole party and get them all really actually to work towards this, that's, you know, that's a bigger ambition. But, you know, in every step of the way, you take your small graces. And I've got to tell you the funny bit, though, Richie. And when Jeremy Corbyn was speaking, my sister had her hand up filming and I could see the wristband, the fracking, anti-fracking wristband on the wrist. And next to me was one of our Nanas, Nana Amy, and I would call her Ninja Nana. She's nippy and she'll do anything. So I snatched the wristband from my sister, handed it to Amy and said, don't care how we do this. Let's get this on that man's wrist.
Get him on. Yeah.
She leapt barriers, ducked between bodyguards, caught him at his car, jumped in the back seat, thrust it into his hand and took the photograph. And I said to her the next day when they banned it, I said, I think it's just that it would have been socially awkward not to, after all of that.
After all of that. How significant is it, though, Tina? What I found interesting was, obviously, producing this programme with my producer every day, we monitor a lot of mainstream media. And when it was announced on Sky News and BBC 24, I was expecting there to be a procession of businessmen and women to come out and talk about how Corbyn is anti-business and he's anti-progress. Because that's what they were doing to anybody who was asking questions about fracking over the last few years. But strangely enough, they didn't. There wasn't a procession of people. They just said, as is their, you know, as is their remit, they did what they should normally do, but they don't. They just made the point of saying it. And there wasn't much editorialising going on, which was unusual. Is that significant, do you think? You know, that they didn't roll out these
Yeah, it has been really odd. But you know what? Their focus is never on the real serious stuff, because that might make Jeremy look quite good and skilled. So I think that the media deliberately angles themselves so that they talk about the trivia and the silliness, so that they keep it away from the serious subjects. Because what's that? That there was a quote, and it's, you know, you encourage a public to believe they're involved and in a democracy and that they are empowered by allowing vigorous debate, but in the smallest arena. So we're given certain subjects to debate, and we can debate to our heart's content on immigration and things like that. But for the other stuff, they don't. They, you know, they just limit it to within those things which divide us, I believe. And fracking is one of those things that we've certainly found, going from three to 500 groups, that is a unifier. It brings communities together. It makes communities of neighbours. And it helps to break social boundaries, because we all need air and water and we all want to keep our kids safe. So this brings people together. And this is one of those subjects that the media is very odd with, you know. We're not getting, I mean, we've given up on mainstream all but anyway, so... But then we don't worry. So, you know, we'll put a video out, and like Jonathan Bartley yesterday spoke eloquently on the subject, you know, and we put that out. Within 10 minutes, you've got 500 shares on that. And then that goes from that point. I can't even keep up with what's happened on our social media these last 2 days, because, you know, not everyone's sitting watching the news at 10. Yes, there's still enough of them that are, that we need to win these people over. But we've seen this grow exponentially, that where you regular citizens have had to become activists within their communities. But I think for Jeremy Corbyn, they're not going to get him to talk about the serious stuff, because if he does, he sounds quite clever.
We have been covering this issue for most of the 2 years this programme has been on air. And there's a couple... Yeah.
Really outlet for us. You know, we can reach people that we can't always reach through this show. You know, there's different arenas to go and get into, but we need to be in every arena, because in every arena you have humans who require air and water, you know.
You know, I'm thinking back to people that came on the program apart from your good self. Mike Brzezinski was on this program. He's a senior academic at Ohio University, and he published a paper 18 months ago proving that fracking causes earthquakes. Brzezinski, really interesting guy. But I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe even 2 weeks ago, Danny came on the programme. He's an environmental activist. I don't know if you ever met him. I bet you did meet him. He might be going under a different name. But Danny was on to say that at a fracking site in the northwest, residents were complaining about horrible air pollution at some of these sites, that there was a noxious, overwhelmingly sickening smell. And
really
that when they were calling the environmental agency, basically the environmental agency were just ignoring their calls. You go along with that?
Yeah, totally. I was a part of that. I recall it. When we went down to Horse Hill as well, down south, you know, you knew there were things wrong. You can smell it. You can taste it in the air. You can hear it. Things that go wrong at sites. And I've never been at you know, the test sites where there hasn't really been something go wrong. The record of this industry in the UK is just appalling. You know, up here in Lancashire, they got things stuck in wells, and over at, I think it was at Kirby Mispeton, you know, that was where the smells and the odours started coming out. And yeah, you know, this stuff is dangerous and bad. And as soon as they get started, the only way they can succeed was if they could have got in without us noticing too much, like they did in the States and Australia. But you see, they had wide open spaces there. But we're smack bang in the middle of communities, all these sites. You know, you're going to be right near one, because 65% of the country is up for fracking. So consequently, we're going to notice this stuff a whole lot quicker. And if we're noticing at this test drill stage, which is so minor compared to what happens when they go to full production. And, you know, when you think about when they talk about this industry, when we debate, well, we try and get them to debate, they won't debate head to head. But their responses to us, and when they talk at planning, they talk about test drill sites. So when they're talking figures and numbers and impact on, you know, this, the community, they're talking about a test drill, and even then they're dishonest. And a test drill is nothing compared to once you get a well pad with, you know, 8+ wells on it, which may be up to 36 if they go to super pads. And each of those wells will get fracked numerous times. This isn't one well, one frack, you know, that's going to be the truth of it.
Tina, sorry to butt in there, but because you're on, you know, the inevitability of people being exposed to it because we're talking 65% of the country, here's a very serious question. I was in town the other day and a very rare thing happened. Somebody recognised me from the weekly TV thing that I do in Manchester. It doesn't happen very often, but because it doesn't happen very often, I had a head the size of the moon when I walked away from the guy. But no, seriously, he said to me, Richie, do you know that if you own property in Britain, you own the bricks and mortar, but you don't own the ground underneath the house once you go down a couple of feet or a couple of metres? Now, the reason he mentioned that to me, Tina, is he said, these people can just frack under your house like it or lump it. Is that right?
Yeah, completely. And not only do you not own the mineral rights underneath your property, you also, as of the infrastructure bill in 2014, where I said that Labour had the chance to stop this, this is when they snuck through that they can now drill under your home, provided they are below 300 metres, and they can do anything they like under there because it's none of your business when it's deeper. So under 300 metres, I think the figure is, I'll need to double check that. But so when they can now, because they go down 2 miles with a pipe and then they go across 2 miles, but then they do this at laterals, you know, and they radiate out. So they're going to go under an awful lot of property. And then what's the worst thing that happens next? Is that infrastructure bill also put into law that they may now leave anything underground. So this includes the waste. It includes pieces of, I mean, we know that there are things down there that they should not leave down there. And this also opens up a whole, what are we going to use all those holes for in the future? And, you know, there was talk in the States that they were disposing only of the fracking waste, but, you know, that there's
nuclear waste.
Potential for, yeah, there's the potential. We don't want to scaremonger, so we're only taking this one step at a time. But if all you looked at was Oklahoma's earthquakes, you know, from 2 a year to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, it's the earthquake capital of the States now, purely because of those reinjection wells. So every time they drilled, they fracked a well, when they'd finished with it, they would then use that space to fill up with all the waste. And a lot of that waste has got radioactive material in it that it picked up at the
these,
shale.
These people are insane. Tina, we have a few tweets. By the way, I'm just going to do a quick recap there. It's exactly 22 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to The Richie Allen Show, broadcasting, of course, on Alternate Current Radio, Fab Radio International in Manchester. Very exciting things happening there. I'll tell you more about that later on. We're on davidicke.com, my own website, and the TuneIn app. Caroline's got some tweets. Tina, so we've got some tweets on this. Some of them mentioned the Queen, maybe not in such a good light, but we'll be what's the word I'm looking for here? We won't censor anything, so long as it's not totally rude. Caroline.
Yeah, hi, Tina. Hi. Yeah, we've got Marco, who says something quite interesting about yourself, Tina, actually. He's saying you're a real woman, so he wants me to ask you if you're free.
I am never free. If you could see my calendar, you would understand why. I am fully booked up. And somewhere in between, I've got to fit 2 weeks in jail. And I'm having to rearrange all my schedule as a result of this. So thank you very much. I'm deeply flattered.
Okay,
but
too bad.
No
for,
freedom.
Too bad for Marcos then.
It was only obligation.
Martin Austin. Hey, Martin. Ironic then the only way to communicate with Liz Lizard, as he calls her, is the no longer Royal Mail.
The no longer Royal Mail, yeah.
Yeah, that was funny, actually. You know, we went to deliver the report, and when I was speaking to the woman at the gate, I said, can I just pass it in? She said, no, it must arrive by Royal Mail. And I looked at her and I went, you don't have a Royal Mail anymore. You're just a post office because you saw it was privatized, you know. And she laughed. But I said, what about if I just stick it under the gate? She said, well, then it would just be binned. So you have to post it. So, but that was just an unusual moment when the Royal Mail, as if we still have anything like that, you know. Sorry, carry on.
Right. Jail and 2 weeks and the harassment you've had from bailiffs that you were telling me about the other day. A lot of our listeners want to know about that. What's going on? Remind us.
Yeah, so in 2014, 26 grandmas primarily took a field, held it for 3 weeks to alert the neighbourhood that this is where the frack site will be. We did no harm. We did no danger. We caused no problems. It was done under the civil Section 6 rule and 144 disclaimer, which if you want to look into that stuff, but essentially it meant that we seized that space. We caused a land dispute on purpose because we believe that land should remain agricultural, and sadly the farmer wants to sell out to Quadrilla, the fracking company. So we did our 2 weeks there. We left with 3 weeks there. We left on the 26th of August 2014, and on the 27th of August we were evicted, in theory. There was nobody there and the field was left cleaner. We fingertip searched it and filmed ourselves doing that. They then ran up £55,000 in costs for this eviction that never was. But these are just legal costs. And then they said when we went to court, if one of you doesn't stand up essentially and put your name to this, then we'll just look through we could look through the footage and then pick someone, you know. Now, a lot of those nanas have carer responsibilities, you know, elderly relatives, young children they look after and so on. And I was the least wealthy, so it made sense that it would be me. And I am a nasty little instigator, apparently. So I stood up and they levied the costs against me. And when it went to the time that I was supposed to pay, I refused, not because I can't afford to, which I really can't, but that's neither here nor there. Even if I could, I would refuse, because to me, this is an abuse of our justice system. It is using my courts of law to attack me and to set an example to other people who would dare to stand up in their communities to say, if you do this, you could get saddled with 55,000. Are you going to stand up? Are you going to risk your home and your car and your livelihood, your freedom? Are you going to do that? But you know what, to me, 2 weeks in prison. So then they said, well, you know, if you're not going to pay, then that's contempt of court. And I wrote to the judge and I said, I have complete respect for justice, but not for the abuse of justice as shown by this corporation. And I believe you're being used. And I'm sorry, but I will not pay a single penny ever. And then this leads to me being in contempt of court. And so I went and I had my hearing and it was lovely, really, because 150 people came to court with me. They all had my face mask. There was a hashtag, I am Tina Rothery. Then people in like the States and Canada, Thailand, Australia, they all ended up following this hashtag, taking pictures of themselves and putting the hashtag all over their places. And it was fantastic support. And we've been waiting for the response to that. Now I have the response, which is I have to go to court again on the 19th of October. And if I'm still refusing to pay, then there's already a thing that says I must go to Stiles Prison in Manchester for 14 days. So here's the thing, right? So I don't mind the processes and I'm not scared, because in the end, if I was fighting in South America or Africa, where I would have less rights, I could be shot for doing the things I do, or I could be incarcerated for a very long time. And I believe that if we still have some freedom, we must use it to the max. And because all those people who can't, who are also fighting these sickening industries that take over and decimate places, and that you have to still stand. So I don't mind all this. What I really mind, though, Richie, is that when they tried to serve the papers the first time, they tried to serve the papers on me when I was on a family day with the grandchildren. And so I refused at that point and arranged a later date to pick them up. But they came to Yorkshire when I was at another event. And again, there were children present. And a man in a stab vest turned up to serve the papers to me. And I realized that this is done to do this publicly in a hope of shaming me. But I feel no shame. I know what I'm doing is right, honorable, and obligation.
Why in the name of God would you be ashamed of what you're doing? Exactly. What you're doing is outstanding.
But then to turn up, and it's like the setting the fee so high, is to show people who stand next to me, we're going to come and we're going to harass you. We're going to humiliate you in public. We're going to make you look like a criminal. So then yesterday, I was astounded. You know, let's just play bloody fair. But, you know, we're at London. We're having this fantastic tea party. We put a lot of effort into these things. And along comes this man in London. I was at the address on his piece of paper in the morning and have been there continuously on and off. Well, you know, I spent 4 days at one address, three at another. I've been at that address continuously. I phone the court. They have my email, my phone number, my address. And this man turns up and says, Tina Rothery, I'm here to serve papers. I'm like, you're kidding me. In London, who came to London to serve papers from a Blackpool court.
To make an example of you, Tina.
Down the road. I mean, that's just, to me, they are just showing what their motivation and reason is.
It's a tyrannical fascist state. And I'll tell you why I would be worried about them, you know, and sending you to prison. It's not that long ago. It's only about 4 years ago that in Ireland, a wonderful woman called Margareta Darcy, a grandmother like yourself, was sentenced to prison for trespassing at Shannon Airport because she was protesting the fact that, of course, the US military has used Shannon Airport to refuel and then fly on to bomb the bejesus out of poor people in the Middle East. And Margareta went to prison. This is the world we live in now.
But you still, how does that change anything though, Richie? Whatever they do, when you know it is moral obligation, how can anything they do change that? Because you cannot, it's like I did an analogy the other day and I think it works, which is someone is running at my grandchild with a syringe of stuff. I know that everybody else who's seen this scenario has seen their children harmed and that there's a very good chance this is the same thing. There's a chance it's not, but there is every chance that it is. At what point do I stand out of the way of that person, that industry, that toxic industry running towards my grandchild? When do I step out of the way and say, that's okay, you may pass? How can I let you pass? My obligation is to the things that I'm responsible for. And I said to the police this morning, I said, you cannot stop us because by stopping us, you're asking me to be negligent of my duties and my prime responsibilities in life. And that would be negligent and I would think criminal. So anything else that I was doing would be, if I wasn't doing this, it would be criminal to neglect this.
You know, Tina, throughout history, when people have been punished for doing the right thing, it's often mobilised people, hasn't it, in the extreme. And I don't want to see you or anybody else. Now, I've not been lucky enough to meet you yet. I hope to do so in the future. But we've had a few conversations over the last 18 months. I'd hate to see you in prison.
Yeah, you know, I hate that too. But you know what we don't have in this country, Richie? We do not have a Prisoners Against Fracking group. Now, that's remiss, I think. And do you know what else we don't have? An inside investigation into the privatization of our prisons and the abuse of prisoners by G4S and all those other things that are rather undemocratic and unseemly. They will regret putting me in prison. I won't go quietly. You know this. You know, and I will. Every time you meet a human, they require air and water. And then you will tell them about the threats. And then once people find out about the threat of fracking, that's nothing to what they find out afterwards. Because then they question, what do you mean my government is willing to take this risk with my children? And what do you mean my media is cheerleading this when there are 888 peer-reviewed studies? And your counsellor refuses to study the information that you spend hours studying and that your MP pulls his party line, not his community's line. And then you look at your government, you wonder what on earth that is and what was democracy once and who hijacked it, you know?
Yeah. Can I throw a curveball at you there, Ms. Rothery?
Go for it.
You know, I mean, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but there are hundreds. Now, hundreds is a very conservative estimate. We're talking more like thousands of mothers who never heard of a conspiracy theory in their lives in Ireland, who believe that their young teenage daughters have been harmed in terms of they've gotten ill from taking the Gardasil HPV vaccine. Massive in Ireland. And the way these women are being treated by the media, most of the media, and by so-called men and women of science, even though none of them are decrying vaccines per se. None of them have said, some of the things I would say, some of the things some of my guests would say, I'm very anti-vaccine. But they're not. They're saying, well, we're not talking about other vaccines. No, this cervical vaccine, it's hurting people.
Yeah. I mean, HPV in particular, I mean, I'm not well versed on it, but I do know enough about it because I suggested that my daughter, nieces and granddaughter not get the
vaccine. Well, you know what? I wasn't trying to throw that at you to get your opinion on it. What I was bringing it up was because of the reaction towards the women by the state has been unbelievable. They're asking bloody questions like you. Hang on a second. Why is my daughter in a wheelchair? Why is my daughter so fatigued she can't get out of bed? Why is my daughter like this? Why are all these symptoms similar? And they are being tyrannized for asking questions.
Yeah. But that's been throughout history, hasn't it? You know, but they fight us till we win. You know, we currently do not have children cleaning chimneys, and women do have the vote.
Yeah.
These things do change. They change too slowly for us. And unfortunately, with things as dangerous as the stuff that we fight, that harms our children, like, you know, dangerous pharmaceuticals that they're maybe not checking into as properly as they should because they're profit-led, and industries like the one we face, that these things, we must do damage limitation all the way along, because things will continue to change. People wake up. You look at the way it is now, Richard. You know, it used to be we'd all watch the news at 10, all believe the same story. The man in the suit with the nice accent said, these were your enemies, these were your friends, this was good, this was bad. And that was all we really had to go on. Then along came the internet. And then along came TED Talks and YouTube and people like you and independent radio stations and independent TV. And suddenly we were looking at guys and tech guys. And we were looking at people we respected for their intellect and wisdom and honesty and genuine truth. And they didn't look like the guys on the news at 10. And they didn't speak the same way. They ummed and they ahed and they spoke like real people. And you could hear them talk from the heart. And now you look at, you know, the guy on the news at 10 and the politicians, and they look like something from the 70s. They don't look like my world or what I know to be the majority of the way we all see the world, because it's a bit like they haven't quite caught up with us yet, because you can't tell me one thing and not know that I'm going to then go online, find a person living and breathing that thing you just lied to me about, and get them to tell me the truth of their actual experience, because the world is that connected right now.
That's brilliant. You know? Caroline's got a couple more tweets there of interest, so I'm going to hand it over to Caroline. Go ahead, Caroline.
Yeah, Tina, Hubert says that basically they're poisoning the air, the water, the food, the very fabric of our lives.
They're poisoning it.
Are we finished? That's the question he's asking.
I think that you've absolutely hit the nail on the head, because it's an holistic attack. You know, when we gave evidence in the House of Lords in 2012, one of the questions one of the Lords asked of me was, so everything looks like a red light to you, Tina. Which is the most important fears and threats that you're concerned about? And I said, no, it's the whole thing. Because this industry wants to talk about, in fact, our government does, and lots of things do this. They compartmentalize problems. It's an air problem, a water problem, a soil problem. We can therefore mitigate this and mitigate that, But what they're not doing is saying, actually, what happens when all of those problems are occurring within that environment at that time? Not what's happening in one isolated part of it. So once you connect that up, and it's exactly as your Twitter said, it's the fact that it's the air, the water, the quality of the soil in which we grow quality food to eat. What are we ingesting? You know, what are we getting our children to ingest? And what are we passing on to them? And what are we leaving behind on how they will survive in the future? And these are our deepest responsibilities. Nobody's economy, nobody's job figures, and which I'll point out that that is their biggest argument in this country about fracking. And in Victoria in Australia, they just banned fracking after a 5-year cross-party study, no bias. And they just looked at it because it's so important agriculturally there. And they said, this is devastating for agriculture. And what's more, for every 10 jobs that you gain in fracking, you lose 18 in agriculture. And that's nothing compared to what then happens to the quality of that agriculture. So, you know, it's a whole picture you've got to start looking at, and we need to stop compartmentalizing, because they can always mitigate, you know, they can always damage limit. And so it's not that bad because we'll put this in place and this in place. And that's fine for that little bit and that little bit and that little bit, you know. The fracking industry used to lie in the beginning. They used to say, they have this lie that sounds like this, and they say, fracking will not harm your water supply. And one of the first things we started saying at fracking meetings was, you know what, that's almost true. Because then your question should have been, does any part of the shale gas extraction process harm the water supply? The answer is absolutely yes. But does fracking, they define fracking as that one tiny part of the process where they fracture the shale. Not the building, not the drilling, not the waste disposal, not the methane burn off, not the vast quantities of raw undiluted traffic on our roads, the vehicle movements. Oh, none of that. Because they compartmentalized it. And that's what we have to do. We have to ask better questions, because if I can grab one of their fools from their PR teams, then I can ask the right questions. They can't wriggle out of those, you know? It's hard to get hold of them to talk to. You know, in the end, it's a big call out. Somebody come and debate us. You know, we're a movement that grows. We are over 500 groups strong. Not only are we national, internationally, or we are well connected. People are fighting this all over the world. There are lawsuits and all sorts. But in the States, there are gagging orders, which is why you hear less about it.
Gagging orders, eh?
Yeah. Where's the debate?
You know, where's the democracy in gagging orders about asking questions about something like that?
If you go to the hospital in the States and the doctor cannot define it as a fracking-related sickness, because that would harm the potential profit of that, which is a bit like the TTIP agreement that's coming up. You know, things like that where you prioritize the rights of the profits of a corporation above and beyond any other rights, the human right to health and safety and well-being.
Well, don't forget on that, it's interesting you mentioned the United States. Pharmaceutical companies managed to lobby their way to exemption from prosecution from vaccine harm. You see, not a lot of people know that. There are a lot of questions to be asked about the efficacy and the safety of vaccines. But whatever happens, whether they're proven safe or harmful, the corporations who make them can't be sued because they lobbied their way to that. Tina, we've got about 30 seconds left on this, and I'm going to give you the absolute final word. Put you on the spot. Tell our listeners, some of whom might be a bit sceptical about this and might not care about fracking, sadly, but should do, 30 seconds, tell people why this should be an issue they should be concerned about.
Because a bunch of grandmothers spent 5 years studying it, and it takes an awful lot to make us do that. We're not foolish women. Please trust your fellow man, not your fellow corporation. And also, look at the team. You've got David Cameron cheerleaded it, Theresa May, George Bush. All these people who cheerlead it are the bad guys. And you have to only look at them and say, what's your motivation? What's ours? We're not asking you to believe us. We're asking you to ask the question. Does the process of shale gas extraction pose any risk to my family? Be a NIMBY. It's in the backyard where our children play. And you need to be conscious of your community right now. All you've got to do is search your town or your county and the word fracking, and you will find a group, I promise. So find that. Just hook up with them. Just see if you believe and do your own research on this. And you know what? Every single action taken counts. And that's how it's worked for 5 years, is that people said, oh, but I haven't got time to do much. That doesn't matter. Do a thing. If all you do is talk to your neighbor, it's been that combined, diverse approach that has succeeded in keeping us frack-free for 5 years. And we will stay frack-free because we will not allow this to pass, and we will stop these trucks.
It's an honour to have you on the programme. I always love chatting with you, Tina. Thanks so much for doing it. Anytime you want, you need only get in touch with us. You've always got a platform here. Look after yourself.
Okay, so court case, we'll be back in touch probably. Well, maybe in about a sort of week or two, we might want to touch base on the decision in Lancashire and then the impending court case.
That'd absolutely be great. Right, Chair. We'll keep an eye on that. Thanks again,
thanks,
Tina.
Always.
Bye for now. The lovely Tina Rothery on the line to us there from her home. As she said, she was in London. At a 24-hour vigil which took place, the day before yesterday into yesterday. They only got back this morning. And some incredible things there. I do want to direct you to our YouTube channel. And Mike Brudzinski, easy for me to say, from Ohio University, who came on this programme. Oh, God, I gotta reckon it's got to be about 18 months ago. He published a peer-reviewed paper saying, proving that fracking does indeed cause earthquakes. And we also, who else did we have on around about that time as well? Memory escapes me now. But check that particular interview out. In fact, we might just upload it again and put a different spin on it, a different headline on it, and put it up again. Caroline, just before we take a break, any tweets?
Elephant, at Elephant Thinking, offers to that we all chip in and pay Tina Bill in hundreds and thousands of pennies.
That we all chip in and pay the fine owed by Tina, but in pennies, to wind up the system. I think it sounds like she's prepared to go to prison, though.
Yeah, she said she was not going to pay whatsoever. She'd rather go to jail. I suppose it's a strong statement. Wayne says, men and women of good conscience cannot blindly follow orders. We are honor-bound to protect that which is morally right. Lots of tweets about Tina, how strong she is, what an inspiration she is. Little Globe, love to you, Tina. You want anything done, a woman will always get it done. And it seems that Tina is he's prepared to go all the way, no doubt.
Brilliant. We'll hear more from you in the second hour, Caroline. Thanks for that. Right, you're with the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com, with fabradiointernational.com and alternatecurrentradio.com. Now, it's Wednesday, so following this programme, well, I've got this all wrong, haven't I? A few hours after this programme, if you are on alternatecurrentradio.com, their terrific Boiler Room show takes place. So go to alternatecurrentradio.com to find out which time zone is relevant to you. And if you can't hear it, it's a terrific programme. Cast of thousands. No doubt they'll be talking about the US presidential debate the other night. No doubt they'll be talking about MH17, the flight, and the news that the Dutch-led investigation team have said that all roads lead to Russia. Those damn Russians. Responsible for everything. Check out Boiler Room at alternatecurrentradio.com. We're not going to take news at the top of the hour. We're going to take some music. This is Snow Patrol. There's a song called Take Back the City on your Richie Allen Show in association with davidicke.com. Stay with us. Keep those tweets and emails coming in for Caroline. Back in a few minutes. Susan Lindauer joins us in about 5 minutes.
Take back the city for yourself tonight. I'll take back the city for me. Take back the city for yourself tonight. Whoa. God knows you put your life into its hands, and it's both cradled you and crushed. But now it's time to make your own demands. Whoa, whoa. All these years later.
Music from Snow Patrol, Take Back the City on the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Couple of interesting tweets coming in there. Well, there's a lot of them coming in. It's fair to say, without patronising her at all, it's going to take a couple of days for Karen to get used to it. Hundreds of tweets are coming in, and it's not easy to stay on top of it, but it's good. It's good to have you here. Interesting tweet there about the environment, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking there under the amount of tweets, but I found my
you
way
were
out.
You sinking.
Sinking down thinking. The water, not sinking with my head. Sinking down.
You were sinking.
Yeah, but okay. I'm up again now. Plenty of tweets, I can't believe it. But I like Mark's tweet. It's actually a photo, but there's a message with it. It's like a devastated forest, and it says, when the last tree has been cut down, the last fish caught, the last river poisoned, only then will we realize that one cannot eat money.
Lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device. Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Welcome back to the programme. Just waiting to connect with Susan Lindair. Fascinating woman is Susan, the author of Extreme Prejudice, the terrifying story of the Patriot Act and the cover-ups of 9/11 and Iraq. Joined us on the programme back in February this year. We got through a lot then, and we said we'd be back in touch with her before the year is out. So we're waiting to connect with her there now. We'll give her a couple of minutes. It's exactly 7.5 minutes past the hour. It is Wednesday, September 28th, is it? Or is it 29th? It's 28th, I believe. And it is your Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with DavidIke.com. Caroline is interacting with you on Twitter. So tweet her. It's at Richie Allen Show. She's looking after that now. So chat away to her there, tell her what you're thinking, and if you don't want to do Twitter, the email is still open. It's richie@richieallen.co.uk. That is my email address, and it's always good to hear what you're thinking about these issues. Whether you agree with me, our guests, Caroline, whether you disagree, it doesn't matter. Tweet us and tell us what you're thinking. Tell you what, it's really good to be doing this from a brand new studio. Can't tell you how good it is. This is Simple Minds and Alive and Kicking on the Richie Allen Show.
You turned me on. You lit me up like the sweetest cup I showed you. You lit me up. Don't you ever stop. I'm here with you. Now it's all or nothing. You follow through.
Simple Minds alive and kicking on the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. It's exactly, well, it's 11 minutes past the hour. Let's welcome our next guest to the programme. She was on the show back in February of this year and we were delighted to have her. She's a former US intelligence asset and she worked as a backdoor channel on anti-terrorism from 1993 to 2003. She warned, her team warned about a major terrorist attack involving airplane hijackings and a strike on the World Trade Center, but they were ignored. And that would eventually have serious consequences for her personally. She's the author of the brilliant Extreme Prejudice, The Terrifying Story of the Patriot Act and the Cover-Ups of 9/11 and Iraq. It's great to welcome back to the programme Susan Lindauer. Susan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're having an adventure in America right now.
Oh, you're having lots of fun.
I'm so delighted you called.
You're having lots of fun, right? What with presidential debates and elections and news today about flight MH17. Do you sometimes think, Susan, that in a cycle like this, you might be better off leaving the country for a few months?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I'm right in the middle of it.
You're having fun, right?
Listen, America is in the fight of our century. And I realize that a lot of people right now in Europe are being fed a lot of baloney information, a lot of garbage information about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. And it seems like you're all being told that Hillary Clinton is this responsible, steady, trustworthy, knowledgeable person versus Trump, who is inexperienced and brash and bombastic. But I want to tell you that you've got it exactly backwards. Hillary is the most dangerous woman on the planet, and I'm going to show you why Trump, you should all be praying and rooting, cheering for Trump, and I am fighting as hard as I can to help him get elected now.
Right. Now, I love this, but I'm going to tell you. You're absolutely right. Your characterization of Hillary Clinton couldn't be any more spot on. It's right on, Susan. I couldn't argue with you. But it's my contention, and we didn't bring you on to argue with you. We're not going to argue with you.
I love a good argument.
Yeah, I know you love a good argument. I get to have my say quite a lot on the programme, so I don't have to keep ramming my opinion down the throats of my listeners. But it's my contention, Susan, that the choice that you have there is no choice at all. Ultimately, even though your characterisation of Clinton is absolutely right on, Trump is an establishment stooge as well, isn't he? He must be.
Well, actually, I have been surprised. He is a wealthy billionaire, but I'll give you several different examples of why every one of us should take a deep breath of relief for Trump's, because Trump surprises you when you start digging into his record. Trump opposed the Iraqi war before the invasion and actually went on television. This is what I first became aware of him. And I had forgotten a lot of this. I was the chief CIA asset who covered the Iraqi embassy. And Trump was one of the only voices in political life who could actually get on Fox News and CNN, who was big enough to go on CNN and Fox News, who was out there saying, this is insane. Give the weapons inspections a chance to work. Cooperate with the United Nations. Do not go it alone. Do not try to force the world into this war. There's no reason to do this. And so from a long period, 15 years, he has always been consistently opposed to using the U.S. military as the police of the world. He has I'm speaking now, this should make everybody so relieved who's in Europe and the Middle East. Trump deeply opposes U.S. military intervention.
So he's anti-interventionist, Susan. That's what you think.
Yes. And that's good. Believe me, that is such an improvement.
Who could argue with that? And I'm not going to argue with it. Why did Trump say...
Well, the other thing I want to say is about 9/11. And this also surprises people that on the day of September 11th, 2001, on that very day, Trump called it out and he said there had to be bombs and explosives to bring down the building. He even said there had to be a bomb in the basement of the building in order to bring it down. And he described visiting the World Trade Center while it was under construction and the positioning of the steel girders and how highly reinforced reconstruction this was. And there's no way that a plane crashing into this, no way a plane could crash into the building and penetrate into the building. It would break apart on contact with the building.
Tell me this, Susan, is there, I'm not doubting you for a second now, we love what you do, but I'm going to be the devil's advocate. Is there a record of Trump saying those things somewhere?
Yes, and I'll be happy to send it to you.
Yeah, I'm not putting it up to you. I'm not challenging you.
That's okay.
I just want to know that because
I'll send you the video of it. It's like a minute. It's like 2 or 3 minutes that was on CNN, and I'll be happy to send that for your archives. The other thing that you guys should know is that he supports collaboration with Russia, and again, I know that Europe is like all twisted around right now about Russia and Ukraine and Syria. But he doesn't, you know, the United States must never put boots on the ground in the Middle East again. And if, please God, Trump wins in November, the United States is going to stop financing the rebels in Syria. They're going to stop sending military weapons, stop training them, stop covering for them, and that means the Syrian war will take a huge step towards conclusion and completion. And once the Syrian war is, please God, let it be over, those refugees who are flooding into Europe could go home. And that is going to be a huge relief for Europe, I think.
Do you think, Susan, in all your experience, and I'm going to go back to Trump in a second, do you think that there's a good argument to be made that one of the deliberate intended consequences of the carnage in Syria was to basically create fear and divide and conquer in Europe by flooding Europe with mostly, God love them, mostly desperate people who have been bombed out of their homes and their land? Do you think that was an intended consequence because of what's coming down the line to prevent opposition to the very system that you've described so brilliantly in your book, you know, the people responsible for 9/11? Do you think that's part of the intended consequences, flooding Europe with migrants to create divide and rule?
Yes, to create divide and rule. And also they want they know there has to be a pressure release because Hillary Clinton, God help us all, wants to declare war on Iran and Lebanon. She is not happy that she has only got her wars in Iraq, Syria, and Libya. She is actually championing new wars with Lebanon and Iran. And especially poor Lebanon, which just breaks my heart, because Lebanon is an easy target. Just like, and Lebanon is doing a brilliant job holding together respect and tolerance for all the different religions, all the different sects, just like Syria was doing before the war. But Lebanon is seething with refugees already, and it will explode again. That's what Hillary wants to do. That's why she's saying, she's promising Europe that she will take, that the United States will take an extra 500,000 refugees.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's why the European government, that's what you all need to understand. Hillary Clinton is promising to take an extra 500,000 refugees into the United States, which I'm sure all of you would say, oh, thank God, please, America, take them. But the problem is, the reason why she wants to take the refugees is she wants to start all new wars, which are going to create even more problems than we've already got.
Now, I believe, by the way,
who wants to end, he's like, no, we're going to support Russia's position. We're going to stop sending military weapons to these these jihadists. We're going to stop financing them. We're going to stop protecting them. We're going to cut them off. And when that happens, the war will, you know, Assad and Russia will be able to take control of the situation. And once that war winds down, the Syrian refugees will stop flooding into Europe, and those that are already there can go home.
Now,
a lot of them want to go home.
Let me put something to you.
Want to live in Europe? I mean, no offense.
Of course, they don't. No,
they don't want to be there.
No, their heart and their souls are in their land and where they came from. Let me put this scenario to you, Susan. Look, Hillary Clinton and her husband are the devil incarnate. Nobody would argue with that. Now, you're talking to our audience on the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com and elsewhere. We're well briefed on who Hillary Clinton and her husband and the Clinton Foundation and all of that. We know who they are. But you're absolutely right. The vast majority of people who get their news from BBC and Sky and Channel 4, they are of the opinion that Hillary is a wonderful woman who's going to be a wonderful president. We know she isn't. But I want to talk a little bit about Trump again and some of the things that Trump has said. What really disturbed me about Trump was something he said, and I know what you're going to do now. Well, maybe you won't, but a lot of people do it. They say, he just shoots from the hip. He doesn't pay attention to what he says. But when he was asked about Edward Snowden, he strongly implied, Susan, that if it was left up to him, Snowden would face capital punishment. He's not fit to be president of the United States, surely. And you're a whistleblower. Oh, you're one of the most famous whistleblowers that I've spoken to in recent years. So you could be in line for the
so
gas
much.
Chamber. No, you are. But under Trump, under Trump's rules, you've betrayed the country, so you should go to the chair.
Well, now, whistleblowers, Trump is not against whistleblowers. The problem that Edward Snowden faces is that he ran to America's enemies, and his actions, unfortunately, right at the beginning, he went to China. He went to Hong Kong and had meetings with Chinese intelligence, and he tried to get Chinese intelligence to give the files from the NSA to Chinese intelligence. And then, unfortunately, he did run to Russia, and he did give it to Russian intelligence as well. I wish he did not do that. That was the kind of thing that any government in the world, unfortunately, would see him as a traitor on that basis. But what he did is so valuable and necessary that we have to overlook that. But giving it to the end, that's the problem with what he did. Whistleblowers, I think that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, I think, has a very good shot at having his charge, his criminal investigation that's been hanging over him all this time. I will be arguing that on behalf of Julian Assange, I will gladly argue in any correspondence that I ever have with Trump that Julian Assange needs to be deified. That Julian Assange, I may not be able to protect Edward Snowden, but I've already made a commitment to help Julian Assange.
Yeah.
And I may not be able to do anything for Edward Snowden because what I just said about Hong Kong and Russia.
I would argue now, Susan. Let me back in. Sorry to interrupt you. Let me back in. I would argue now.
Some of these others and Bradley Manning. Julian Assange and please Bradley Manning. Those are the two that I'm going to be fighting for.
Well, let me back in, because even if that's the case, that Snowden blotted his own copybook by going to the Far East and meeting with, intelligence agencies there, Snowden could argue, well, what else was I going to bloody well do? I was in fear for my life. I knew the US intelligence agencies were chasing me, and all I did was release some videos, amongst other documents that showed, amongst a lot of documents that showed how tyrannical my country was, how tyrannical it was behaving. Trump shouldn't be saying stuff like that, Susan. It speaks, I think, to his psychopathy to say that, you know, a guy who basically blew the whistle on serious wrongdoing by his government should be in line for capital punishment. It's not good enough, I would say.
Yeah, I I understand. I understand. Because I love what Edward Snowden did and what William Binney did before him to show the heavy surveillance, the blanket massive surveillance of the United States government against the freedom of the United, the essential freedoms. This is what makes America ourself, our country. It makes us our heart, is the freedom that we believe we have and the privacy which we believe we have. And now, thanks to Edward Snowden, we know that they can turn on our telephones and watch us have sex. And seriously, and they do.
Smart technology is all about spying on us. It is,
my friend. It's really pretty ugly. So you know, I think that there needs to be. I will be fighting for both Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. Bradley Manning to be pardoned, and Julian Assange to be just, you know, to end any criminal investigation against him. But I don't know that I can do anything for Snowden.
I'm glad you mentioned.
Not everybody's going to listen to me, but those are the two that I'm going to be fighting for.
Well, a lot of activists around the world know all about you, and they will certainly be listening to you. So don't do yourself down, as we say here in the UK. Moving away from Trump, we will come back to him a bit shortly, because I am going to go after you again about Trump. I believe that.
Sure. You know, this
friend of Israel stuff and, you know, and this nonsense.
That is the Israel question is...
It's a massive question.
That is a massive question. And Trump's daughter, Ivanka, converted to Judaism.
Right.
And she has a wonderful husband. And apparently they have a very happy marriage. And, of course, that is what really comes down to. But he met with Bibi Netanyahu this past week at Trump Tower for 90 minutes, and they came out shaking hands. And it's a little bit you have to kind of gulp, you know, like gulp. Oh dear, what's going to happen now? He said that he would make Jerusalem the capital of Israel, and that kind of makes me a little scared.
He's ultimately playing for the same team as Hitlery Clinton, as we've come to call her. That's what I believe. And I'm going to say this, not about you, Susan. I'm not going to impugn you at all. But a lot of independent media outlets in America, people we like a lot, and we still like them, it doesn't matter. I think they've been coloured so much by their understandable hatred of Hillary Clinton that they've forgotten that ultimately the establishment presents us with our choices every time. They've forgotten that. And rather than saying to people, the solutions are not at the ballot box, which is what we always believed, that the solutions are in civil disobedience and supporting people like you when people like you come along and say what it is that you said. Rather than doing that, they've suddenly gone back to, oh, well, we can change things through the ballot box if we vote for the Donald. And I think it's colored by that hatred of Hillary.
The establishment is, if you watch the establishment news media every night, they bombard us with how terrible he is, how much they hate him. And it has really been backfired on them, because the more they say they hate him, the more the rest of us love him.
And you know, I think that's deliberate as well.
We hate you. We, the American people, hate the establishment, and it has become a mark of our, we're proud deplorables. And that's not to say that we're in favor of racism. We are not in favor of racism. We don't consider ourselves to be racist or sexist. Hillary Clinton is saying that if you're a woman, it is sexist not to vote for her.
Pretty much.
But that's not how we see the world. We recognize that we want, I'd love to have a woman, I would love to have a woman president, but it can't be Hillary Clinton.
But not her.
Stands for.
You'd rather have Kim Kardashian as your president than Hillary Clinton. I'm hearing you loud and clear. I just want to give, imagine that, and Kanye West in the White House. I just want to give a quick plug to Susan's book. It's Extreme Prejudice, The Terrifying Story of the Patriot Act and the Cover-Ups of 9/11 and Iraq. This woman, this lady and her team gave forewarning of planes attacking the eastern seaboard of the United States, and that it was coming in 2001, and they were ignored. The book is brilliant. I read it when it came out back in 2010, I think, 2011. I recommend it strongly. strongly. Now, keep the tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. You can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. We will go to Caroline in a couple of minutes' time for some tweets. But before we do that, Susan, I don't know if you've been following this today, but the Dutch-led investigation team looking into who or what and why the Malaysian flight MH17 was shot down, it concluded in its report today that all roads lead to Russia and that the missile was smuggled into eastern Ukraine from Russia and that Russia's fingerprints were all over it. Now, today they said...
Why would Russia try to shoot down...
Exactly. Well, take it away. Why?
Because they didn't.
End of story, right?
They didn't. End of story. But I can see why... However, it could be that the Ukrainians had older Russian model supplies, military weapons, military hardware from Russia, and that would explain why this happened, why it is a Russian-made, because Ukraine possesses a lot of Russian-made weapons armaments. And so it's perfectly reasonable that it would be Russian-made and fired by Ukrainian soldiers. And they could have even done that quite deliberately. Because otherwise, why would Russia fire on Putin? They wouldn't.
One of your friends and colleagues is a regular on this program, Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, like yourself.
Love Ray.
Great guy, Ray. We spoke about you before, actually, and we were chatting about you. Your ears must have been burning, Susan. But we've spoken quite a lot about this. And Ray said, timing is of the essence when these things happen. And of course, we had the Victoria Nuland-led coup in Ukraine, replacing Yanukovych, her and Yatsenyuk conspiring to get rid of the democratically elected Yanukovych. Poroshenko went in there. They moved Ukraine closer to the European Union. They moved it closer to NATO. They put a Chicago woman in, Natalie Jurescu, as their finance minister. It was an absolute coup. And of course, Russia were very...
Absolutely.
Wasn't it? I mean, how else would you describe it? What this was designed to do then, I'm gauging from what you're saying, is this was designed to basically cover up what they were doing there and throw all the spotlight on the evil red menace again, right? That's what
Absolutely.
It was about.
Absolutely. That's all it is. There's no way that Russia would fire on a plane with Putin traveling on it. That's ridiculous. It is, however, very plausible that the Ukrainians would fire on a plane that they thought was carrying Putin. And that's what happened, I'm sure.
We've got loads of tweets, understandably. We're going to go to Caroline now and get one or two tweets. Caroline is our social media monitor, and she's interacting with people on Twitter. We've had hundreds and hundreds of tweets tonight about fracking and about Susan and about Trump and about Clinton. Caroline, go ahead, take it away there.
Hello, Suzanne. The majority of the mood really with the tweets is that they're surprised to hear you, that you are ready to vote for Trump.
A lot of people say that.
They asked me to ask you, how could you vote for Trump? But they're also surprised that the US is being faced with only an impossible choice, really, which is actually either or. Hillary or Trump, both bad, but they seem to think it's a setup.
Hillary, I believe, is the most dangerous woman on the planet. She would like to be the president of the world. She has already threatened to use nuclear weapons against Russia or China and or Iran. She has promised wars with Iran and Lebanon. She is a catastrophe, as Libya and Syria and Ukraine show. She frightens the military and the intelligence people, who have said that her policies create mistakes that only weaken the ability to solve problems. In other words, she will make strategic blunders, and she refuses to listen to anybody. She's considered to be very dictatorial and arbitrary, and if anybody challenges her, she attacks them viciously and blisters them and just tirades, screaming tirades. She is not a calm, steady woman. She screams at the top of her lungs at her aides. They are terrified of her. They were so frightened of her during the email problem that they would take hammers and destroy her cell phones rather than her BlackBerry have confront her about the mistakes she was making. She has been caught stealing from the U.S. Treasury. She's really bad. She is a third world dictator, but she doesn't want to be dictator of the United States. She wants to be dictator of everybody, everywhere. And I consider it my obligation to stop her.
Any more, Caroline? Any more tweets there? No? Not for the minute. We'll be back with Caroline in a second. Thanks for that, Caroline.
I know it may surprise everybody, but I think that the questions of Trump's racism are overblown. I think that he does not like immigration. He doesn't. That's true. But Hillary, I consider that war is the ultimate racism. War is when you target other human beings for extermination based on their religion, their ethnicity, their national background. And war is where if Hillary's elected, there will be World War III. It will happen. And so I feel that that Trump's populism, he's going to focus more on the United States. And I think that's better for everybody.
Are you
may not like it. You may be hearing all kinds of awful things about him, but he wants to pull the money. He's going to have a strong military, but he wants to pull out of all the international conflicts, and he wants to focus on rebuilding the United States.
I worry, Susan.
So much better than the alternative.
I'll tell you what I worry about. I worry that while I believe that Trump personally holds some of the opinions that he expresses, I believe that. I'm not stupid. I really do believe that. But because of the nature of the man, because of his narcissism and his vanity, I think that an argument could be made that he would be putty in the hands of those who really control people like him. But I want to...
No, I think he's actually got... What I came to believe was that because of his opposition to the Iraq war, and because of his he was the first 9/11 truther, practically. Literally, when you see this video that I've just sent to you, I hope you'll post it in your archives, because what you'll see is that he on 9/11 he refused to back down, and he was right. And this is the thing, because he does have a large ego, he doesn't back down easily if he thinks he's right.
About Hillary and World War III, I'm delighted you brought that up, because a number of esteemed commentators in the alternative media are absolutely in agreement with you. They're convinced that a Hillary presidency will be immediately rubber stamped, or will immediately be kind of cemented by an escalation of things in Syria. In terms of a Hillary presidency will be, well, we need now to really send in our boys on the ground, and then you're going to have absolute carnage. And that might result in a protracted, heightened state of tension with Russia, and who knows where that might lead to.
She's already threatened war with Iran. We would definitely have boots on the ground. We definitely would have a conflict. And the thing about Hillary Clinton is she'll say anything to anybody that she has to make them leave her alone. So you have to look at her history and her actions. She defended George Bush on the war, all of the on the Iraq war, all of the neocons who are backing her supported the Iraq war. And it's the Wolfowitz crowd. It's the same monsters who gave us the neocon mess to begin with. The project for the new American century. They're with Hillary. And that should scare everybody.
We have Susan Lindauer on the show, folks. We've got Susan for about another 5 minutes. Time is flying by. Susan, where can people find you online? Give a plug there.
I have my own radio show, Truth Frequency Radio, on Saturdays and Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. London time.
Brilliant. I was going to mention that, but I was talking about a website, because the only website I could find is the one for Extreme Prejudice.
Extreme Prejudice, but I don't use that anymore. That hasn't been active for a while. But so, yeah.
Truth Frequency Radio on Saturdays and Sundays at 6 p.m. UK time, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. That's where you'll find Susan. Susan, when we talk about Third World War and the possibility of a conflict involving the United States and Britain and France maybe, and maybe Australia, and on the other side maybe China, Russia, and Iran, heaven forbid. I should have mentioned Israel, of course, on the side of the United States. When we mention this type of thing, when this sort of scenario comes up on the programme, I'm mindful of the fact that there are people whom are impressionable, and it really scares the living daylights out of them. And then we get accused then of fear-mongering. You know, you're
No. Yeah. Not with Hillary Clinton. If anything, I'm worried that most of you do not believe it, because it's too awful to contemplate that anybody would be this stupid to create World War III. But this is a woman who did not learn from Iraq when she went into Libya, and she did not learn from Iraq when she went into Syria. And she's a psychopath. She goes on, you know, in 2000, look at her videos from 2014 and 2015. Global Research Television has a brilliant compilation of her videos from March of I think they published it in March of 2015. And it is just scary to behold. She's laughing and just gleeful. Oh, yes, we're going to do it. She's even said that she would welcome a false flag so that she could go to war in the United States, so that she could go to war with Iran. And she said, bring it on. She used those words, bring it on. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Come on. Let's get it on with it, so that we can have a false flag in the United States so she can have a war.
And blame
she's
Iran,
just
yeah.
stated matter-of-factly, if I am elected president, there will be war with Iran. And that just makes me just shiver. And that should scare you all to death. Because if you think we've got problems now, oh, my Lord, it's too terrifying. It's just awful to think of. And besides which, Iran, it doesn't matter whether you like someone's politics or not. We can all agree that we don't like Iran's politics. That does not give us the right to destroy the Iranian society.
No, you're right. You're right.
Iran. A lot of good people there who are trying to make their world a better place, and we have no right to go bomb their schools, their hospitals, their communities. Iran is a highly urban, modern, contemporary society. You know, what we did to the Iraqi people was hideous and unforgivable. And we had no right to do it.
And that was before the invasion, of course. You're talking about the sanctions that decimated the country. You know what I'm thinking, listening to you there? I'm thinking that you're quite right. We would have a lot of issues with the human rights record of certain, you know, parts of Iran, certain people in Iran. Of course, we should be concerned about that and we should condemn it. But I'm going to agree with you. In the 21st century world, we should be more concerned, and we should judge a country by how it treats its neighbours. What does it do? Is it offending its neighbours? Is it threatening the integrity and the sovereignty of its neighbours? And it isn't. The only countries in the world at the moment that are threatening the sanctity of the security of other nations are Great Britain, France, the United States, Israel, and there's a few others. But Turkey. The likes of Iran, Turkey, of course, Turkey and the Kurdish issue. But Iran has never, it's been hundreds of years since Iran has attacked or threatened to attack anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And frankly, they have a good, peaceful Jewish community there that's very well protected.
Certainly do.
And they have, you know, there are some issues between the United States and Iran. And I, but I hope and pray that we can use diplomacy. And I think that the most important thing right now is to end the war in Syria. And I think that that hinges on the United States must stop supplying weapons, military training, and money to the rebels. And I am convinced that that's exactly what Donald Trump will do from his very first days in office. He will just cut them off. And he will make a collaborative effort with Russia to stop ISIS. And when we stop finance, when the United States stops paying for this, all of the men, not all the problems, many of the problems will stop and the war will wind down and the refugees will go home. That's what they want. They don't want to live in refugee camps. They want to go home. They really do.
Of course they do. They want to go back to their own land, their own families, their own space. Susan, we're just out of time. I want to give them a shout out again to truthfrequencyradio.com. That's where you'll find Susan's programme, which airs every Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. UK time. It was about 7 or 8 months, Susan, between visits. Come back anytime you want. You're always welcome to come back with us. Love to get your opinion on these matters.
After the election, we should do it because then we're going to be talking about what comes next for America. This is actually a very exciting moment.
Brilliant.
It really is.
Brilliant to chat with you. Thanks for doing it. Look after yourself. Once again, folks, Susan Lindauer, the book is Extreme Prejudice, The Terrifying Story of the Patriot Act and the Cover-Ups of 9/11 and Iraq. Susan, thank you.
Brilliant. Have a great week.
And you too, Susan. Susan Lindauer on the line to us there from her home in Maryland. Great stuff. Right, very quick break. When we come back, Caroline's got some tweets back in a minute.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. Livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back to the program. Great to be with you and really, really enjoying the new surroundings and the new studio. Going to mention that again. Thrilled with that. So we are broadcasting from a purpose built state of the art. It must be said, state of the art as well. We can't send you any pictures because the studio itself is pretty bare apart from the wonderful desk and the wonderful equipment. But when we decorate it and get some things on there, we might eventually put a webcam in, although it's radio, not TV. So I'm not thrilled about a webcam. I don't mind me on camera. I'm a big vain ignoramus. I don't mind it. I love seeing myself on telly, actually. I don't really. But I'm not going to rush to get a webcam in. But if you want one, I suppose we can look at that. Caroline is back. You got some tweets, Caroline?
Yeah, we've got Tony's mum who is listening for the first time tonight. Her name is Bea.
It's B.
B, oh.
As in T.
I'm sorry, B.
Yeah,
B,
yeah.
Hi, B.
Hi, B.
So, B is apparently nearly 80 and she was a supporter of Hillary until tonight. So she said, thanks for the wake up.
Oh, she's one of those that thought Hillary is great. She's lovely. First woman president. How marvellous. She's Bill's wife. Everything is going to be hunky-dory. Okay.
Yes, yeah, psychic Marie-Hélène. Some of the loudest voices against Hillary are strong, intelligent women. Please speak out against against the war, basically. So there's a lot of people who actually are going along with Susan, saying that it's the best of two best choice, really. It's voting for one in order to not let the other one being elected.
What do you think?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Because both are really, really bad. Would I vote to
the answer? The answer is not in the democratic process, is it? The answer is in understanding that you can't possibly win whichever of these people you vote for because they're controlled by the House of Rothschild, the House of Oppenheimer, the House of Warburg. These are people who really pull the strings. Number of people saying on Twitter, number of people saying that the US is the great Satan, as it has been dubbed for many years, of course, by Iran. But ultimately, the United States is controlled by the same families we just mentioned. Carolyn, what else are people saying?
Let me scroll back up again.
Yeah, scroll up. Yeah, what have I done? You can't hear us, no? For some reason, you can't hear us. Okay, right, I'll sort that out. Going to take some music back in a minute with more tweets. Chili's and Under the Bridge on the Richie Allen Show. They're in Manchester very soon as well at the arena for two nights, apparently. Two nights. I'm not going to either. I only like two or three of the Chili's songs. Caroline, we have one or two tweets, have we, before we wrap it up. It's been good having you here again tonight. What have we got there?
We've got Millie, who is tired of politics. He said, let's just get on with living.
Tired of politics. I don't know what else we can do for Millie. This is what we do. Yeah. Anything else?
Let me just scroll down.
You're under no pressure now.
I stopped breathing.
Take your time. We've had several hundred tweets again tonight. I just want to point out something. I should have asked Caroline to mention this. To see what other people are tweeting and to engage them on our Twitter page, you just put Richie Allen Show all one word with no spaces, right, into the search Twitter, press enter, and you'll see what everybody else is tweeting. We had about 300 tweets there. It's a bit overwhelming when you start doing it, but I think you're doing well there. And you're interacting with people as well. You're talking to them and putting your own comments in there. Anything else, a final one before we wrap it up?
Well, Wayne is talking about war. How many wars have they started in Iran? Human rights not perfect, but what of the US and UK?
Yeah, but Wayne is absolutely right and he's absolutely wrong. You can't ignore the human rights record of these countries. That's for the Ken O'Keefes of this world. You know, Iran is great. No, it isn't. It's never attacked another country in 400 or 500 years. And that's what I said. We should judge these countries by how they treat their neighbours. But at the same time, you can't ignore that there are some miserable people living in that country because of their sexual orientation and because of their beliefs. You can't just ignore it. But of course, you know, you have to agree that by comparison to the United States or to Saudi Arabia or to Israel, of course, you know, him without sin, let him without sin cast the first stone. But those who align themselves with Russia because it suits them, because Russia is in conflict with the United States, or those who align themselves with Iran, and it's not just Ken, there are many of them, conveniently turn a blind eye to the problems in Iran, and they can't do that. They just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, Millie's got a good sense of humor. He posted a photo, actually. It's a cow facing two choices, going on the left or going on the right. It's the illusion of the free choice. Both of them are all leading to the slaughterhouse.
They're both of them are going the same way, yeah. The same way, right?
I feel like it's perhaps the way where America is going.
Are you back tomorrow?
I just might.
She just might be. Caroline, thanks for your input tonight. Really appreciate that. That's it for the programme. Thanks to both our guests, Tina Louise Rothery and Susan Lindauer. It will begin repeating as usual on the players at 11 p.m. BST. It will begin repeating. And of course, Simon Stewart will have the interviews on YouTube tomorrow in the very early a.m. Thanks again to Claire for production, to Simon for YouTube, to Aaron for all the work he's doing on the new Richie Allen website and much more besides. And a massive thanks to Caroline for doing the social media. She can do that as much as she wants. We're happy to have her on the programme. So that's it. All that is left for me to say is do stay with our broadcast partners, alternatecurrentradio.com and fabradiointernational.com. I mentioned Boiler Room with Hesh and the cast of Thousands. That gets underway in a few hours' time. Go to alternatecurrentradio.com. How about that? Really enjoyed the programme. Thanks for listening to it. Go to richieallen.co.uk to donate to it if you can. Support it. It's your show. See you tomorrow. Time.